Hey everyone, welcome to episode 26 of the Passion Effect podcast. My name is Jack Pittman. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. Each episode, we talk to people who have successfully followed their passions in order to inspire you to find happiness and purpose through your passions. On today's episode, I'm joined with author, TEDx speaker, and Ironman triathlete, coach of over 18 years, and business owner, Jen Rulon. Jen is a 15 times Ironman triathlete who has qualified and participated in the Ironman World Championships in Kona, Hawaii on October 14, 2017. And since retiring from Ironman triathlons in 2019, Jen has turned her focus towards mindset and triathlon coaching, where she helps inspire everyday people to achieve their goals and be the best versions of themselves. And today, Jen is here to talk to us about her journey as an Ironman triathlete, the importance of setting goals that transform and push us, as well as how we can overcome adversity and foster our passions. Jen, thank you so much for joining me on the Passion Effect. I am delighted to have you here today.
Well, I am honored to be a part of your podcast. That introduction, I was like, holy cow, that's me.
I know.
Yeah, go ahead.
You do so much. I was just reading that and you do so much, which is the incredible thing. And you've achieved so much as well.
Yeah. I'm 49 years old. So, I hope I've always been that goal setter and we'll probably talk about that. But when I see something, I go for it.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way to start the podcast. And it's going to be certainly such a theme running throughout this podcast. But Jen, I was just wondering if you could start by telling our listeners about how you got into triathlons, because you've been an endurance athlete for a number of years now. And growing up, you did play a variety of sports, but there was a particular moment for you early on where you became interested in triathlons. I'm just curious if you could share that with us.
So I pretty much wrote a TEDx talk about this and I spoke the TEDx talk, but I think what I recognized was that the biggest thing for me was I played volleyball, basketball, softball. I was a varsity softball player as a sophomore, I was really good at sports. I could throw a spiral football because my brother and my dad taught me, but I did not play football. I did not play basketball or hockey or baseball because that's how my brother and my dad really connected. They had that very tangible relationship that I, as a daughter, craved drastically. And so I thought, well, shoot. I'm like, well, how do I get my dad's attention, right? Hashtag daddy issues. But I'm over that, right? But I think what happened is that in 1989, I was watching the Mark Allen Dave Scott showdown on ABC Wide World of Sports. And these guys were neck and neck. I think, weren't they running under like a 6 minute pace, like with each other? It was insane. So the Iron War. Anyways, I see them cross the finish line. Mark Allen wins that day. Hour later, Paula Newby Frazier crosses the finish line. And I was like, she could do it. I could do it. And I said that when I was 17 years old, and I said I was going to do that Ironman by the time I was 30 years old. So I figured if you can't beat them, join them. And why don't you just go in an extreme sport so then you'll be noticed by your dad? In a way, it really drove me to be an athlete that I never thought I was an athlete. And then another thought too is that after I crossed the finish line to Ironman Wisconsin in 2002, so that was my first one, I realized I didn't need my dad's validation anymore because I got it from within.
Mm. And just before we continue on any further, Jen, talk to us and our listeners who may not be familiar with Ironman. What's actually involved
in the Of course, Ironman Triathlon is a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, and a 26.2-marathon run. You have to finish under 17 hours, so 16 hours, 59 minutes, 59 seconds. If you don't, that's considered a DNF. So my very first Ironman that I did was Ironman Wisconsin, and I did it in a 12:58.
And that's a very respectable time.
Well, thank you. I know. I didn't really realize people were like, well, you were under 13 hours. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, but then we'll talk about, you know, like how many hours I knocked off like later on after for my last race, which is insane. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, just the thought of doing an Ironman, Jen, for the average person, you know, would seem very scary, as it did for you way back then. But, you know, a lot of people, they set goals to eat healthier or run every day, and then somewhere along the way, they lose interest or lose motivation. Why do you think it is that people give up on their goals too soon?
It's too hard. It doesn't happen fast enough. Mm. Oh my gosh. I've seen that so many times with athletes that I coach, is that, well, I should be here, but you're not. So you have to honor where you're at now. We'll get you there. It just takes time. And we all have time. We do. But sometimes we're very impatient.
Mm. So what steps do we need to take then in order to continue pushing forwards towards our goals then? What actionable steps can we take?
Ooh. I think the biggest thing that I talk a lot about is with athletes is why are you doing this? Mm. And I'm not talking about like, why are you doing it? Now you're, well, it could be, why are you doing a triathlon? Why are you wanting to lose 5 pounds or 10 pounds or 20 pounds? Why are you wanting to get stronger? Why, you know, you ask yourself, because waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning before everybody else, before you go to work, before you take the kids to work or to school, you know, you have to really figure out, like, you have to take care of yourself. And so the biggest thing that when I talk to my clients or my athletes, I ask them, why are you doing this? And a lot of them will come back to show my kids that I can, to be around for my kids, to lose weight so I can play with my grandchildren. I mean, very simple things, but when it comes down to it, it's for them to have a better life, but they got to figure out what is that better life.
So it's about articulating what that goal actually looks like, what that purpose looks like, what that passion looks like.
Right.
So having a stronger purpose then can create stronger passion, would you say?
100%. Yeah. Just literally a couple weeks or a couple days ago, I wrote in my, no, 6 months ago, I wrote in a journal. I said, live with purpose, live with passion, love with purpose, love with passion. Mm. And that's really how I live my life. And we can talk more about that, but.
I'm just curious, how did you hold yourself accountable to completing one of the toughest endurance races on the planet? The Ironman track.
I had a coach.
Yeah.
I did. I mean, coaches need coaches, right? Mm. So I had a couple coaches. I had a female coach for the first Ironman. And then I had Brandon Marsh, who was my coach for a lot of my Ironmans. He knew what I wanted to do. He knew I wanted to get to Kona. And then I took an 8-year sabbatical, did CrossFit, drank the Kool-Aid, and then, realized, oh yeah, that race I wanted to do, Ironman Kona, in 1989, when I told my grandpa that I was going to do Kona, I forgot about it. So then I went back to racing, and then I hired Nate Helming, who was in California. He was very strength-based. But then I went back to Brandon, and Brandon and I took it home and went to Kona. So it was really cool. And here's the thing. I was happy the whole time.
Why?
Because I was living my purpose.
That's quite big. Yeah.
And it was for me. It wasn't for an external validation, right? It wasn't for my dad anymore. It was for me. It was for me trying to get to Kona to say, yes, you did it.
You did it.
And then 8 weeks later, we went to Kona and raced. Whew. So
dream come true. That 17-year-old girl.
17-year-old, 28 years later.
Wow.
And that's the thing. Like I told you, if people don't see the immediate results, oh, trust me, I wanted to give up so many times. But I realized that I wanted that goal to get to Kona.
What do you tell yourself during an Ironman race when you're being pushed to extremes, when you feel like, you know, how do you stay focused for 10 plus hours, 11 plus hours?
Right.
To just get to the end and qualify, get to the end.
You know, I think it depends. I think it depends on the spot that I'm in. If I'm, you know, there was one time that the swim was canceled. I was behind on nutrition. I pushed too hard on the bike. I got to the run. I didn't have enough calories, or I had too many calories. I had the wrong calories. So at that point, I wanted to quit. I really did. I was like, I'm done. I'm going to quit. You know, my mom's like, well, just why don't you go to, you know, mile 14? And I'm like, well, if I go to mile 14, then I'm going to have to go to mile 15. Like, I'm going to have to finish it, you know? But I think for the most part, I just sort of stay present. I don't worry about mile 10 when I'm still at mile, when I'm still swimming. I stay in that moment. When I'm in the swim, I swim. When I bike, I bike. When I run, I run.
And it sounds that simple, but I mean, the hours of training that would have gone in the lead up to the moment.
Yes. Now that, yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, that the training itself is, I think, can be harder than the race.
Talk to me about the struggle in trying to qualify for Kona. Like, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've had to overcome as a triathlete?
Yeah. So it was actually my second Ironman. Ironman Brazil 2004. And I was having a really good race. I felt really strong, really good. I got to the finish line, knocked an hour off of my time from Ironman Wisconsin to Ironman Brazil. So I crossed the finish line, super happy with everything. I ended up placing ninth in my age group. So I was down there, right? But I was really happy. I thought top 10 in my age group, that's phenomenal. That was the 30 to 34 age group. And then what happened is I went to the roll down. The woman at first took her spot. So they kept asking, they go, you know, number two, do you want to go to Kona? Number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven. So I'm sitting there squeezing my mom's hand. I'm like, oh my God, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Number eight, do you want to go to Kona? I was ninth, to remind you. I was ninth. When I got back to the condo, I saw that I was 84 seconds off her time. 84 seconds.
Second Ironman you've ever done, 84 seconds off.
84 seconds to go to Kona. But what I love about that story, I wouldn't be here where I am today. Because I think my higher purpose was to show people it's not easy. Sure. Like, if you want to get there, you got to get there. And it's going to take hard work, dedication, grit, tears, sweat, you know, everything. And 28 years later, I did it.
So much more worth it when you go through
this. So much.
And once again, it was, as you mentioned, going back to that purpose.
Correct. Now, I definitely think my purpose changed over time, right?
How?
My first Ironman was all about trying to get my dad's attention, right?
Right.
Until I realized, wait a minute, I just need to validate myself by crossing an Ironman. Then the other time, when I saw Kona, I told my grandpa, and he was my everything. Like, I could do no wrong in grandpa's eyes, right? And so when I told him I was going to go to Kona, he goes, oh, well, when you go, I'll go with you. So 2017, grandpa passed in 2001. If you go onto my Instagram or whatever, you'll see some ugly crying going down the finisher chute to Ironman Kona, because I looked up and I turned right on Alihi Drive and I saw my mom, and that was her dad, and we both started bawling. And I looked up and I said, Grandpa, we did it.
We did it.
We did it. And so there was a lot of purpose behind that. Like, I wanted to, you know, I wanted to make him proud. But in big picture wise, I made myself proud.
And where did that self-belief come from, though? Because, you know, someone might have a purpose and then they might think, oh, I don't know if I can do it. Is that where the coach comes in?
I think age has played a big role for that. I think, you know, when I was younger, I mean, it was, you know, it was tough because I was really bad at running. I hated running softball, you know, I got really good at running.
I guess that's a big thing, isn't it? When you become better at something, you tend to enjoy it a bit more because it's almost satisfying yes. to keep doing it.
Yes, very much so.
And I think once you get past that struggle, you become competent and then eventually mastery after years and years of practice.
100%. Yep.
And you're also a mindset and triathlete coach as well. You train everyday people to successfully complete different lengths of Ironman triathlons, and you do that through your company Willon Racing as well. And then you also have your Monarch Mindset program where you empower people and inspire people to achieve their goals. Who or what inspired you to start that business?
To start the Monarch Mindset? Or just the Jen Roulon?
In general, yeah.
So I think when I got done with my master's degree in kinesiology at UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, I would apply for all these jobs and positions, and either I was overqualified or the job wasn't available yet. And then finally I said to myself, I just need to start my own company and I just need to start JenRoulon.com. So I pretty much have JenRoulon.com and I have a couple off branches of that. So then I have Roulon Racing, which is the triathlon coaching. And then I have just launched Monarch Mindset, which is women empowerment coaching. Sure. Yeah. So I started Jen Roulon as sort of like the umbrella, and I really didn't know where I was going to go from there with that. I didn't know if I was going to be, you know, I didn't even think I would be an author or a speaker, but here I am, you know, but in my mind, I was a triathlon coach, you know, and then I got to a point where I was like, oh, I'm a business owner. And so I just started like channeling different ideas and thoughts. And so, yeah, currently we have a very small team, Roulon Racing, which is great. I love it. And it's pretty much speaks for itself. Like people know who we are and if they want to jump on board, cool. But I really don't do any hardcore marketing or anything with that. And then I started Monarch Mindset March 1st, 2020. So
yeah.
And the timing was interesting, obviously, but I had some 8 women who signed up prior to everything that, you know, happened. And it was crazy because we sort of needed each other at that time.
Mm. During COVID, yeah. I think definitely
you got it.
Like-minded people as well.
Yep. Yeah. And I had to teach these ladies, like it was interesting because the triathletes, the ones that I coach, they're very self-sufficient. Mm. You know, when races kept getting bounced off or dropped off, they're like, I don't care. I got to keep training. I don't care. I got to keep training. Right. That's just their mindset. And so I didn't have to worry about that. But then when I went to work with the ladies, they started using COVID as excuse. I was like, no, we need to stop right there. Like, I'm giving you 5 minutes to complain about what's going on in the world, but now we're going to come back and focus on you and focus on what you need to accomplish. I mean, people can say, oh, COVID was terrible, but in reality, I launched the business. I wrote a book. I did some virtual speaking events. I mean, and I'm in Costa Rica right now. I'm not complaining, you know, but it's that mindset that I can versus I'm scared.
And that's the difference, isn't it?
Big difference. Yep.
And you've also got a new book coming out next week, funnily enough.
I do. Yes.
Self-motivating strategies for women, how to achieve your goals and transform every aspect of your life, which is an amazing title, by the way. I love it.
Thank you.
Why did you write this book and what lessons can people reading the book take away from it?
Wow. So it was interesting. The editors reached out to me in September of 2019 and asked me to write a triathlon book, and I had to turn it down because I didn't have the time to do it.
Right.
then they reached out to me April 2020. They go, hey, what are you working on now? And I said, I'm working on this. And I go, they go, that's ironic because we're going to start talking. We're going to start doing this woman's book. So I did have an editor, a publisher. I have a marketing group. It's great. But they really put together this outline. And then I just put my brain and my thoughts into the outline. And so what I talk about in the book is there's different chapters. We talk about health and fitness. We talk about emotional health. We talk about building a community. We talk about the spiritual sense of things. We talk about personal relationships. We talk about creativity. Mm. Or I guess, because I wrote it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing as well. But I just wanted to touch on that briefly as well, because we've talked a lot about, you know, obviously the physical side of things, and obviously there's a lot of training involved, and, you know, it's a very long race, but how do you train your mind for success and purpose?
I'm not afraid to fail. And if I fail, then I just got to get back on my feet and do it again. I don't have the fear. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's times where I fail and I'm like, screw this, I'm done. You know, yeah. There's times where I'm fearful. Like I remember, you know, taking the plane out of Houston to come to Costa Rica for a few weeks to launch the book. Like I started crying because I was scared because it was the unknown, right?
Sure.
But I think what happens is I sort of flip that switch. I honor that I might be scared. I honor that I might fail. Or I give myself grace, but then I think, okay, that was just the thought. Kiss it away. You're done. You don't need to think about it anymore.
Right.
And so I don't stay in that.
You don't stay in that.
Does that make sense?
Right. So it's about acknowledging that you have the fear, letting go of it, and then just being present. Because I feel like a lot of people get stuck in that place of fear, and then it starts to dictate their life.
100%. And I think what happens is that they get into that fear place, or they get in that fearful mindness, or that almost like, oh my God, what if I fail? What are people going to say? Then they start making up that crap in the head. They make up those stories.
Yeah.
And trust me, I do it too. Like I call my own self out. Like, I'm like, oh, stop making up a story again. You know, stop going down the black hole. I mean, I could sit there and be like, oh my gosh, what if I fail to get to Kona? What if I don't get to Kona? What are people going to say? Are people going to judge me? Are they going to do that? So I think once you step away from the idea that you may, that you're going to fail, it's okay. I think once you accept that, I think that plays a huge role.
What are some of the most valuable lessons, Jen, that you think people can learn from taking part in triathlons?
I think the biggest thing is that you find out like what you have, like what type of grit you have. Like I have seen sprint triathlons. Like, so a sprint triathlon would be a 400 meter swim, 15 mile bike, a 5K run, right? Mm. I have seen women of all ages, all sizes cross the finish line, and their smile is so infectious because they are so proud of themselves, whether they were walking their bike up the hill or whether they were walking the run. But man, they can say like, especially like women's, like women triathlons I've seen, like these women, like I've just seen people like, oh my gosh, I'm a triathlete. Yes, you are an athlete. And I think that's what people can take away. Is that if they do an Ironman, or not an Ironman, but if they do a triathlon, guess what? You are an athlete. And so many women that I've talked to has says, oh, I'm not an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So many women.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think so often as well, that's probably another thing that holds us back as well, is we're just so ingrained by our personalities. And that's why we think we can't do things. But as soon as we start breaking through what we thought was possible, then we start to create new and better identities for ourselves. And I think that's really powerful, because then it creates momentum in a way.
Right. For sure.
What are your immediate and future plans for your business, triathlon coaching in general?
I think triathlon coaching, I'm just sort of letting it, you just flow, right? Mm. I could sort of see, because triathlon coaching has always played a huge role in my life. I'm always going to be coaching triathletes. So whether it, you know, it's a handful of athletes, that's where I'll be, right? Even though I'm not on the triathlon course anymore, because I did technically retire 2019, November, Ironman Florida 2019. I did a 10:46:47. So I pretty much knocked 2 hours off my time from my very first Ironman. So, so business, like I'll always keep that little team, because that team has always, that they've believed in me from the very start. Right. Moving forward though, I, with the Monarch mindset, I want to do Monarch mindset retreats. So women's retreats. So this is why I'm here in beautiful Costa Rica, because eventually the goal is to start doing end of the year retreats to celebrate ourselves, women.
That's amazing. And I wish you all the best of luck with that as well.
Thank you.
What advice would you give to people about following your passions, Jen?
You have one life to live. And if you live in fear, if you live afraid of failure, then you're not going to live your life to the fullest. You know, I want to use the Nike slogan and say, just do it. But I know that's so much more. There's so much more to living purpose. I wake up every day so with so much gratitude, but I also go to bed with so much gratitude. Even though there might be a moment that I had a crappy day or somebody annoyed me or ticked me off, I'm still grateful for that person that did that to me, because it just made me a better person. How can I respond to them versus react to them? You know, or, you know, maybe something, maybe I lost an athlete, maybe I lost a client, but I am so grateful for those that have stepped away, because they've moved, they're bettering their life. You know, I think the biggest thing is gratitude for me. And I love going to bed. We all love sleep, right? I love waking up and knowing that it's a new day, that I get to have an amazing day, but then hopefully I get to impact others, whether it's through triathlon coaching or Monarch Mindset or your podcast or anything else.
You've got that passion and purpose and that why that we talked about.
And that why.
Driving you forward.
Yep. Very much.
Final question, Jen, where can people go to learn more about you and your work?
Of course. You could go to Instagram. I am on there. Coach Jen Roulon. So Coach JEN1NRULON. You could go to jenroulon.com or now Monarch Mindset. I'm trying to figure out the branding there. That's a lot of work. And then you could go to Facebook, Coach Jen Roulon as well.
Jen Roulon, thank you so much for joining me on The Passion Effect to talk about your journey as a triathlete, the importance of goal setting and overcoming adversity. I really loved hearing your story, and I'm sure our listeners will get a lot of value out of this conversation. So thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate it. Oh, you could also go to Amazon and check out my book too.
Yes.
It will be on sale March 9th.
Yes. I'm glad you reminded us all.
Yes.
We wish you the best of luck with that. Sounds amazing.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack. And very impressed with your research.
Thank you very much. And that's it for episode 26 of the Passion Effect podcast. Let us know what you thought of today's episode on social media. Go leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow our Instagram page at the Passion Effect podcast for announcements and information on future episodes. I'm your host, Jack Pittman, and until next time, keep following your passions.